Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Psalm 128 is describing the blessedness of the man who has the Lord first in his home. And that is set in contrast in Psalm 127 to those who are trying to build the home without the Lord. And that is a dangerous pursuit, and it's showing the consequences of that. We've looked at that this week. You know, the physical structure of your homes might be beautiful and elegant. The children might be involved in every imaginable activity from sports to fine arts to 4-H. But in the end, all of this activity is in vain if God's blessing is not upon the home. And we see this. We've unpacked that. Psalm 127 speaks of the man who rises up early and sits up late to eat the bread of sorrows. He's working so hard to have the good life, the American dream, as we call it, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And what has been the reality that's happened around us? When you eat the bread of sorrows, God has put a curse. God has put a curse upon those who want to try to live without Him. They have, but they never have enough. And look at the sorrows that result. You know, we live in a society that's crumbling. Is this the answer? Where it was once, where it's now normal for couples to live together without being married, and freedom and liberty includes a woman's right to take her unborn child's life. Homes broken, divorce rates never higher, sexual immorality out of control, clinics full of people stressed, new medicines daily with all these new disorders, family structure disintegrating. The children of our society. Why so many angry and undisciplined children? Here we live in a society that no longer values children. I said this week, you show me a disrespectful child who has no respect for authority, I'll show you the breakdown in the home. This is what the psalm is describing, and it's showing us that these are the bread of sorrows when we try to build without the Lord. But that's not totally hopeless if we come and see that Jesus Christ is the antidote to that curse, that Jesus Christ turns the curse into blessing, and that our homes can be blessed in Him. That's what we've been considering. Jesus Christ is the answer. When a man fears the Lord, he's been given the new birth to love the Lord. His priorities change. The Lord is first. There's a passion for Him, to serve Him, to glorify Him. He's the center of the godly man's existence. He lives for Him. That's why Colossians says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. That man is fearing. And the curse is turned into blessing upon him. Christ guides him. And that's what we're studying here in Psalm 128. Psalm 128 is describing this. This proper fear has such awe and reverence of the Lord that the pursuit in life now is the Lord's will. He calls upon the Lord. He begins his day asking that he would serve the Lord, that he would do his will. He's stirred to prayer. His passion and devotion is God's glory. And notice, everyone who fears the Lord like this, the blessing of the Lord is upon them and their house. That's the crucial point of this psalm. They do no longer labor in vain. God blesses the works of those in Christ. As the servants delight to walk in His ways, God makes life meaningful, happy, prosperous. Contrary to those building without the Lord with the goal, as the Bible describes it, of eat, drink and be merry, ease, wealth, and honor. The godly man, in contrast to that, fears the Lord. He's counted all things as loss for the gaining of Christ. He's heard Christ's call to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto him. His goal is what Colossians says, whatever I do, eating or drinking, I shall do for the glory of God. What's the difference of the man of Psalm 128 as opposed to the man who rises up early and sits up late to eat the bread of sorrows? This man of Psalm 128 has the hand of the Lord's blessing upon him. He's come to trust that the Lord is the builder of the house, and that he is and is constantly receiving, instead of the bread of sorrow, the bread of joy and the removal of anxiety. See, I believe that what is being described here in Psalm 128 is the happy life the Christian receives in Christ. Listen to verse 2. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Not so much earthly happiness, but the happiness that flows from a transformed, joyful heart that trusts the Lord. As Calvin once said, the psalmist is assuring God's people, God's believing people, that even in this pilgrimage or earthly place of sojourn, they shall enjoy a happy life, insofar as the state of the world will permit. I mean, think of the contrast. The wicked work so hard to be happy without the Lord, and their life is full of sorrow. They eat the bread of sorrows. They do not sleep. They live a life of total anxiousness, rising early, staying up late. But that's not the blessed man of Psalm 128. That man's different. What does the Lord do for this man? Verse 2 of Psalm 127 even says, he gives his beloved sleep. He gives sleep. Did you know sleep is a blessing from the Lord? The ability to sleep and to rest your head and enjoy sleep? The more we cast our bread upon many waters, the more we come to the fountain of living waters, we're refreshed so that we don't have to live in anxiety and fear. In fact, it's a sin to go on being anxious. We're called to be anxious for nothing, but to entrust ourselves to the Lord who gives us sleep. We can lay down our head and trust as the Lord guides us. Sleep, in this context, is represented as being cast into the arms of the Lord's blessing, as a child trusting in his mother's arms. You see, the Lord builds the house through the man that fears him. And here, he who believes the gospel and whose life is transformed, it is being transformed from glory into more glory. As that occurs, what happens to his house? This is crucial. This is crucial. Listen, fathers, as you're blessed by grace, as the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, justified by grace because of Christ, you're being made into his image. The more you're given to love the Lord, fear him, honor him, live for his glory, what does the psalm describe that happens? God's blessing on your family. Look at verse 3. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the heart of your house. What's he describing? One of the blessings that the Lord gives to his servants are wives. Notice he says, she shall be a fruitful vine. What does that mean? She will bear children? Sure, that has something to do with it. But often when the Bible references the fruit of the vine with grapes or a wine, it's talking about refreshing enjoyment. Solomon even uses it to describe in the home by the husband and wife sexual enjoyment. Wine was the thing that was often enjoyed at the end of a long harvest. Look at Ruth and Boaz. Think of the description here. A man is set to work, and in his labor there will be enjoyment. One of those things he enjoys that makes the heart merry is a glass of wine. Psalms will say this. Some react against that and in false piety act like it's all sinful. But the fact is, they can't justify that from Scripture. Nothing is as enjoyable with a meal than a glass of wine. This is how the Bible always treated wine. He's describing the wife like that kind of refreshment to a man after a hard day of work comes home, and in the heart of his house is a good wife that delights him. Isn't that wonderful? Now, do you think a man who is enslaved to his work, rising early and staying up late with little sleep, do you think a man like that has a vine who's cared for in his house? No, that vine's neglected. What do you think happens to a neglected vine in your house over time? A neglected wife. How about this? Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21:9. A continual dripping on a very rainy day, we know what that's like in Washington, and a contentious woman are alike. Proverbs 27:15. Those are consequences when a woman becomes bitter and angry and lives in the home angry as a withered vine. She's neglected. You see, that's not what's being described in Psalm 128. Here, the husband delights to come home to his wife, to a godly, beautiful wife that the Lord has provided. The man wants to be home, not down at the bar. You know what's happening in the godly marriage? Think of how blessed you are who have good wives who you delight to come home to, who fills the heart of your home with joy, peace, and love. That's Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? You're blessed if you have, for her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That kind of description is a result of God's blessing on that household. And he doesn't stop there. Notice what he says in verse 3. Your children, like olive plants, will be all around your table. To the Jews, olive plants were one of the most valued commodities in daily life. Olive oil was a source of wealth. The Lord was describing one of the greatest blessings he could give to a man. A whole quiver full of children made in his image and their own, as a gift from the Lord. Today, we don't view children as gifts from the Lord. We plan our lives and we think how many we're going to have. And yet the more we think of children this way, as God giving us a gift, the more we view them as a precious gift from the Lord. The more we nurture them, the more we love them, the more we cultivate, the more we train them to love the one who has loved us. This is the description of the blessed home. Verse 4, thus shall be the man blessed who fears the Lord. This will be the characteristic of your home where the Lord is feared. You say, I've not known that. Well, at least with children, olive trees have a long process of maturation where they mature. It takes 40 years for an olive tree to finally mature. But the growth of the family is something that the Lord blesses for those who fear him. This is the general rule of things. Do we love the Lord? Do we trust the Lord? You see, this is a challenge to the home today, in a day when everything has seemed to fall apart in the family. The reason is there are very few homes where the Lord anymore is the center. Is the Lord Jesus Christ the center of your home? Do you rise to glorify him and serve him? You can know this kind of life, not eating the bread of sorrows, but the bread of joy in your home. Turn to the Lord with all of your heart. Believe in him. Trust in him. Fear him, O fathers. And you'll know the kind of blessing in your home that here is described that comes by his grace. Bounding Grace Radio is brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We would love to have you join us for worship, 10 o'clock in the mornings on Sundays and 6 o'clock in the evenings. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.